Good morning.
Good morning.
It's so good. I haven't been to church in a long time. Well, this church. Get that clear. I've been, you know, going to other places and preaching and doing the work. So it's good to be here. Let us pray for the preached word. Oh God, we'd ask that you would just come by here this morning and spread some sweetness on us. Oh God, we would ask that you would take these words and bless them. And we would ask, oh God, that you would open all of our hearts to this meditation so that when we leave, we will be transformed. Amen. Now I have to do it again every time I come here to Old Sal. I have to remind you that I'm an African-American woman, right? Look at me, see me, right? And so what that means is that I preach many times in the African-American tradition. And that usually means we have a clock in the back of the room. There's not one there today. That means there's trouble. That's trouble. But what I do would like to give you permission, if you feel so comfortable, if you're able, if you could help me along by just saying amen every now and then, right? Sister Nancy's on it. Okay, so let's get with it here. All right, so now what I want to talk, my topic is the interrupted church. And we're going to hear about this woman. But first of all, I want to just sort of set the context of this scripture. A woman has been not invited to a party. I want to just say that this is one of those highfalutin kind of parties where you do need an invitation, okay? And so in this era, what that would be is you would roll up with your Evite, okay? You need to have your Evite to get into this party. And we know that it is a grand party because it's held at the home of a prominent Pharisee. So you do need to have that invitation to get into this party. So if you were going to the party, you'd probably get all dressed up and dialed up and, you know, you want to look your best. But what happens before the end of the first course meal, before they take that away, boom, the sinner woman is at the party. She has found a way and she has gotten into the party. We would call her a party crasher in this day and era. The notorious sinner of the city has come, and she is not welcomed by the host of the party. I would venture to even say that he would probably not even want to cast his eyes on her or look at her. And I would venture to say many of the guests would probably say, well, what's going on? How does she get into this party? But the nameless woman comes into the party, and she makes her way to Jesus. She's come with a purpose. She's come with tears in her eyes, and she has come to lavish on her Lord some valuable ointment in a very valuable jar, the most valuable possession that she had. But she comes in need of forgiveness, and she seeks God's grace in coming to the party. And Jesus' eyes and his words say to her automatically and instantaneously, you are accepted and you are loved. Yes, this story speaks to God's extravagant love and grace, but it also speaks to the nature and the mission of the church. It confirms that the church, the body of Christ, is an interrupted gathering of the beloved community. Amen? The dinner party is interrupted by an uninvited guest, a stranger, but Jesus does not distance himself from this woman. In fact, he welcomes her, and he says to Simon, look at this woman. She's taken great risks to be there and to make her way to see Jesus. So what that tells me is that the church is not a spiritually gated community, but rather it is an inclusive community that invites and embraces the stranger. The community of Jesus is not a ghetto of moral righteousness. It is a place that engages interruptions, not little periods, okay? Not commas, they're a little bigger than a period, but long pauses. The church engages pauses. The church embraces strangers, but yet, in addition to that, it is called to dismantle systems of racism, economic inequality, and oppression, systems that separate us, systems that create alienation, systems that create greed, systems that create poverty, systems that create a sense of scarcity and distrust. The community of Jesus resists injustice. One of the great things about being an interrupted church, in the words of Desmond Tutu, he talks a lot about seeing with the eyes of the heart. And in so doing, when we're able to see with the eyes of the heart, we're able to practice radical love and justice and hospitality, forgiveness, humility, generosity, and even have courage. As I say, having sight is not the same thing as seeing. Do you all know what I mean? Having sight is not the same thing as seeing. Seeing is being able to really look someone in the eye and to see and to feel and to touch. When I'm privileged to do a marriage ceremony, one of the things, this makes people cry, but it's the truth. It's the truth. It says, I say, look your partner in the eye and look for tears. And I want you to look for those tears before they become a river. Amen? That's what we're about. That's looking with the eyes of the heart. Seeing with the eyes of the heart causes us to honor and see the humanity in everyone. It helps us to see the beauty of God in all people. I oftentimes say, and I think psychologists would agree with me, if there are any in the house, that oftentimes bad words and bad behavior comes out of suffering. I think many of us have been in those places. And in how we respond to others, do we see the holy when we look at people? Do we know right now we're in the midst of holy when we look at and as we are with each other? Do we practice patience, time, compassion, and care? The bottom line is oftentimes, I know myself, I don't care for interruptions, but there's something about the way God works with me that I'm interrupted a lot. A couple years ago, I was driving down Tremont Street and there was an elderly lady and she was in the crosswalk, and you're supposed to stop when you're driving the car, when you see people in the crosswalk, but no one stopped. And what was going on was that this woman was very, she wasn't steady on her feet, and she had a little cart, and every time she would go out into the crosswalk, she would sort of hesitate and pull back. Car after car went by, I'm checking it out, I'm looking at it, but what I noticed was that somebody did stop. Somebody did stop, they parked their car, and they got out. They took the woman by the hand, and they walked her across the street. That was a beautiful thing to see. It was a beautiful thing to see, because that driver was seeing with the eyes of her heart. In a wonderful book by Henry Nouwen, it's called Reaching Out, and it says, a teacher once remarked, you know, my whole life I have been complaining about my work. I've been complaining that my work was constantly interrupted until I discovered that my interruptions were my work. You see, through interruptions, we're able to recover extravagant love and service, which is what our existence is about. That's why we were made. The church, this church, Old South, one of my church homes, was interrupted in the spring of 2013. Do you remember that? It was a bombing right out here. But this church responded with radical hospitality in 2014. The last Sunday that I was here, and all the Sundays that I'm here, I witness the kingdom of God. But that Sunday was a little different. There wasn't a place to stand in this church. And people were reaching out when those scars were passed out, were reaching out and holding one another and looking each other in the eye and the tears that flowed. It was a beautiful sight. What happened was that simple gesture that started right here with some people knitting had a ripple effect around the world. Runners, non-runners, proud family members, friends and knitters and organizers and people who came late, came early and left this building late made a difference. It touched this community that needs healing. We all need healing, but it went beyond the doors of this church to our neighbors and beyond Boston, and I would even say the world. In doing so, we're reminded that our life together, as we work together, is not always about the concrete or mundane. It's not about the concrete, but really the mundane realities of service. Tears, jars of oil, hair, and feet. These are the things that the woman came to Jesus with that interrupted things. We get all excited about going to the committee meeting to reduce homelessness, but the alternative to homelessness that we are embodied requires the daily work of cooking and cleaning and homemaking and making those beds with love and helping people who sleep on a pallet pick it up with love in the morning. The interrupted church lives out the gospel that uninvited woman proclaims through her action in service to others. That action could be simply trying to plant a tree, share reading with a child, cooking a meal, washing feet, reading to someone, planting a tree, giving a second chance to somebody who has been incarcerated. And it is through these simple tasks that we begin to discover and to see that the church is about the work of justice and reconciliation and peace. As the interrupted church does all these things, it begins to see that, yes, indeed, we can do something to stop homelessness. We can go and try to change some systems. We can try to change some things to dismantle the new Jim Crow or the prison industrial complex. So then, at that point, the church becomes a tool to interrupt some things that need to be disturbed and interrupted in our world. In Ferguson, Missouri, I hope people have been following that. I'm sure you have if you have a television set. It's been on for about 8 or 10 days now. But the last scene from that that I will take away was the interview with the Brown family. The Brown family is a family that lost their son to that heinous murder. The mother spoke, and she said this: "I regained my trust in this country and in this process when the Attorney General of our country, Eric Holder, looked at me in my eye." Quote, looked at her in her eye, and that was on Thursday. So the good news here this morning, are you all ready for some good news? I don't think so, come on. All right, the good news this morning is that the interrupted gathering of the beloved community is always, we're always invited to engage deeply and faithfully in the realities of a broken yet a beautiful world. The interrupted community, you see, points to God's new creation. And God is always out there in front of us, showing us and pointing us to new possibilities. God is always calling us to be part of the bigger Christian story. Now, of course, we got to put light bulbs in and all that. But this is a big Christian story that we are called to be a part of. The Apostle Paul calls us God's ambassadors. Isaiah calls us repairers of the breach, that we are to be builders. We're builders up of the wastelands and to raise up foundations for many generations to come. For we are called to embody and to usher in the kingdom of God, which is right here in the earth. And with each encounter that we have in being interrupted, I just want to let you know what I believe. I believe that God looks at possibility, and that sometimes we don't think anything is possible. But with God, all things are possible. With God, every mission is possible. There's possibility for everyone. For 3 years now, City Mission has been partnering with congregations like Old South who understand the gift of interruption. Not everybody gets it, you guys. But Old South and other congregations have been working with us over at a little school in Dorchester called the Russell Elementary School. And it's a wonderful little school. It has had a lot of issues in the past in terms of the performance of the kids there. So we have set about a path of working with the young kids there and bringing in volunteers from various congregations around the city. So I want to share with you about a volunteer that we have. His name is Alfredo. And Alfredo started working with City Mission Society as a student years ago at Boston College, and now he is an investor. He's been working at the school for more than 2 years, and he says that Tuesday is his best day. Go figure. So Tuesday is his best day. Let me tell you why Tuesday is his best day. Because this is the day that he gets to go over to the Russell School and to be with the kids. This is the day that he goes over and he reads to three exceptional little boys, Raphael, Santiago, and Eden. And these are special, special kids. And what I learned in doing the work at the Russell School is that they oftentimes do not have enough classrooms for all the kids that are doing exceptional in the program. So what they do is they use volunteers to work with the kids that are very exceptional to go do special things. So these kids get pulled out of the classroom every Tuesday, and Alfredo is excited to be there. So a couple of years ago, I said, well, why do you do it? Why do you do it? Alfredo's busy. He has a family. He, he has a full-time job. I said, well, why do you do it? He said, I'll tell you why I do it. He said, I was on the tour that you gave when we went to start the relationship at the school, and a little boy broke loose from the bathroom line as we were going and doing our tour, and the little boy saw Alfredo standing in the conversation, and the little boy gently came up to Alfredo and said, won't you be my teacher? Won't you be my teacher? Alfredo said that he locked eyes with that little boy and said, yes. Could he say no? He said, yes. I'm so proud to let you know that those three little boys will be going into the advanced reading class in September. They are doing really well. And so is Alfredo doing really well. That what I know is this. When we reach out to others, we generally get more back, right, than we give out. But like that woman who was anointing Jesus, oh my goodness, to see with the eyes of the heart, it's a beautiful thing. And we're doing it, And we can do more of it. There's room in this world for more churches that are interrupted. Amen. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, we thank you for the gift of interruption, because in doing that, you provide us opportunities. You provide us opportunities to be your ambassadors. You give us opportunities to be in places where healing is needed, O God, that we can be your balm in Gilead. So God, we would ask that you would just expand our vision, O God, and that we might be challenged not to sail too close to the shore so that we arrive in our destination safely, but, O God, that we arrive looking to you, who is the master of our lives and the master of this world. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.